If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right. Welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined again by Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
How we doing? How we doing? It's a good one.
It's good.
It's good. All things good.
Gym owners, you're allowed to make money. Let's get into this episode. You know, it's interesting. We have conversations all the time with gym owners. And one particular conversation was very interesting. It was one of our Iron Circle members, Alec Lieberman. And he said, he goes, somewhere along the line, gym owners who started as personal trainers, somewhere along the line, there's the starving artist mentality. And when we got into it, it's like, what does that even mean? It means that it's not cool to make money.
Yep.
It's almost like you're a sellout if you charge what you're worth, because your mission is to help people. And if you charge a lot of money and you make money, are you really helping or hurting? It's just like this whole weird mindset. And we're here to kind of attack that a little bit, because I've never understood this. Agreed. I've never understood this. You create, like, I don't know if this is a good or a bad word today, but I'm a capitalist. If you have a product that serves the community or serves the person you're selling to, it's okay to make money. Like, that's part of the exchange of value.
Yeah, it's exactly it. Yep.
You're offering a service, they're exchanging the value of money, and everybody, it's like the way the world goes around, isn't it? Like, isn't that kind of how this works?
What I had a coach, I mean, I remember one of the first coaches I had, he said, every conversation you have, a sale is made, right? It's an exchange of ideals and ideas. And
you're always trying to get somebody to see your point of view or get them to do something or ask that, you know, all the things. And so, like, you kind of equate this starving artist trainer, it's, you know, not wanting to make money and be profitable, to the garage bands of this following. It's like, well, if they go big and sign with a big record label, they're a sellout. And, like, I don't know where this comes from, because it definitely isn't in my DNA. No. It's like, your goal isn't your goal to like make money and provide for your family and all these things. So, you know, we have a mutual friend. He's actually a speaker at the Grow Summit. He's the founder of Push Press, Dan Waymera. He's going to be speaking on day one, right? He's a guy that I look up to, and he's a guy that shares the data.
Yeah.
And that's what's really cool. And kind of like one of the main reasons why I like him on the stage is because he's going to share real world data from a data set of over 5,000, you know, accounts that he manages or use his software. And he put a post out yesterday, and it's getting a lot of traction.
Sure.
He said, I was curious, so I looked. I'm not reading it, but it's like, in order to be in the top 10% of Push Press gyms, you need to make $24,516 or whatever. It's like close, yeah, within 20 bucks, right? $24,516. And, you know, I think I said on the show probably 2 or 3 years ago, if we weren't making $30,000, we would close, like, I would just close the doors. It's not worth it to me. And he said, to be in the top 10%, so 90% are lower than 24,000. I'm over here saying, if I don't make 30, I'm going to close the doors. And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out, most of his gyms that use Push Press are a CrossFit model.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I feel about CrossFit. You feel the same way. It's just data,
yeah,
right? Like, does it make any sense as a business model? And we get a lot of hate for it. And especially in the CrossFit community, it's like this weird feeling that the CrossFit community is not willing to look outside of their four walls of their community of CrossFit. It's like their way is the only way, but they're on like literally the Titanic. They're sinking, and they're still like marching and flying the flag that this is the model. And it just isn't, like, financially it isn't.
Yeah.
Could you go help people? Is it fun? Is it cheap to operate? Could it be a hobby? Yes. And there's great people that run gyms with CrossFit. It's totally cool if that's what you're looking for, but is a profitable, thriving business that makes more than $24,000 a month, then it's not the way. It just isn't. It just, the math says, and it's over and over and over again in the State of the Union, from the other company to this post, to everything we've ever read. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a CrossFit hater in per se, but it's just not a great business model.
It's really interesting too. Like, there's an altruistic, you know, approach to those businesses. I mean, I would say if you have a 24,000 or less gym, you probably have another source of income as the owner. You probably work another job.
Or
spouse. Or yeah, exactly. You know, because this business, as a business, not as a hobby, not as a place of community, not as a place to, you know, get your workout in and allow other people to, because that's like, it almost does. It seems like a hobby. But when you look at it as a business, is that the best use of your time, energy, and resources? Probably not, you know? And
absolutely not.
Well, obviously,
there's not even a probably.
That's a good point. The data would tell you absolutely not, right?
And I'd even go as far as the fitness business in general is not the best use of your time if you're looking for total revenue.
Sure.
Because there's so many other industries that are easier that make 10 times more.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another good point. I mean, at some point, and even with that mentality, it's okay to get to a point where maybe it's the right decision for you to sell the business, or maybe it's the right decision for you to pursue something else, right? You've built a skill set. You've figured out a lot of the hard stuff that it takes to run a fitness business when it comes to the client acquisition, when it comes to the systems, staff management, and all of that type of stuff. You go to other industries and the skill sets that you've built in fitness are like exponentially more valuable. You know, I mean, all of our Iron Circle clients that have other businesses, we talk all of the time about how quote unquote easy it is over here versus the fitness business, with the constant fires, the low margins, the difficulty in acquiring a new client, all of those types of things. Well, yeah, we sell something that is an undesired product at the end of the day, right? We know we need health and fitness. People know that it's a thing, but it's still like, it's still a conscious choice to do a little bit. You know, you have to do more to get the result. You have to do the work to get the result.
You have to have discipline. You got to get out of bed when you don't want to. You can't eat the cake. You know, it's all of the things inclusive for health and wellness. You would hope, and I feel like this newest generation coming up takes it way more seriously than, say, our generation or my parents' generation, and even the generation like millennial generation. They don't look at health and fitness like Gen Z does, Gen Alpha, Gen whatever the hell.
Whatever
it is. Like they are actually, there's studies that show the newest generations coming up in their 20s and 30s right now are spending 10 times more than, say, Gen X, baby boomer, when they were their age. It's just interesting, and it makes sense. I'm glad.
And you see it with, like, they've even talked about sobriety. You know, like that same thing, the newest generations are that much more inclined to be sober as opposed to, you know, where alcohol is just a normal part of.
Yeah, I saw charts on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like alcohol sales in the 21 to 30 year olds was like a third of what all the others were. It's just, you know, it's probably a lot of reasons. One, they don't have as much money to spend. I mean, that's probably some of it.
Sure.
But something tells me, like, the COVID and all of the things happening, and they're seeing big pharma and the food industry and all the things, are like, they see through the lies that everybody else fell for.
Yeah.
Because all the truth's coming out now. And so, like, okay.
Yeah. They don't have trust in those organizations, right? Everything from the food pyramid, you know, that we were all taught was like, this is the Bible for how to eat. And now we're seeing, like, that was propaganda to get, you know, agriculture and that industry stimulated. Okay, cool. At the expense of, look at the nation. You know what I mean? I remember there was another photo or something going around online, but it was like a beach in the 70s.
Yeah.
And nearly, lean. Yeah, and everybody was lean. No, you know, you had a handful of people that were visibly, you know, problematic, overweight type of thing. Nowadays, you go to a beach and it's the majority of people.
And we want to say people are lazy, and there's some of that, but the food is manufactured differently.
Absolutely.
And it's killing the population.
Sure.
It's killing it by design. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we're going down the conspiracy theory. but follow the money.
Yeah.
If people are healthy, Big Pharma loses money because they're not going to be prescribing. Like, it's just this thing. So, like, doesn't it make sense to make people fat and unhealthy so that they're on drugs?
Could write them a script and keep them paying you.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of things. But going back to this mentality of being broke as a gym owner, it's not cool. Like, I don't know where it became cool to just struggle all the time. And there's like this difference between the trainer that decides to not struggle and the trainer gym owner that is always struggling. And it has a lot to do with the business side.
Absolutely.
It's the lack of business acumen, but it's also the lack of looking outside of their four walls of their...
The echo chamber.
Echo chamber. It's,
yeah.
It's
very,
hey, Tim Lyons here, and let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser-focused on building a gym that prints profit and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times bestselling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
And that's why getting to things like the Grow Summit is so important, because we put all different types of people on stage. The you know, I know this isn't a pitch for the Grow Summit, but like in the audience, we have so many different styles of gyms. I think it's amazing. We have yoga studios. We've got class-based stuff. We have big box gyms. We have corporate gyms. We got guys and girls coming in that have 50 locations. We've got the mom and pop independent training gyms. We've got everything in between. And it's like, cool. They're all here to learn global skill sets.
And it's business skill sets. Like that's to back, you know, again, not to hard push the Grow Summit, but there's a reason why we've always had it's all business focus, right? It's not the event where you're going to show up and you're going to do kettlebell swings and go get another cert and go, you know, we don't push equipment and all of the different things that you see at the majority of fitness conferences. Is it's about the programming and the ability to get a client result. Well, how about getting your business a result? You know what I mean? And that's the things that we speak to. And to your point, you have to kind of take a step back and look at the people you're taking influence from, the people that you're listening to. Do they have the business that you desire to have? If you're in those echo chambers, probably not. You know, when 10%.
That's the key. I think you just nailed it. Are you taking advice from the people that are at a place where you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't, why are you doing that? Why are you listening to the guy that's 24,000? Is it because you're 20,000? You want to get to 24? Why don't you listen to the guy that's doing 50, 70, 90, 120, $200,000 a month?
And the thing is too, you know, maybe there's got to be some difference of belief, or you don't know what you don't know type of thing, right? So maybe they look at those gyms and they say, oh, well, they must be doing something entirely different. Or, oh, I don't know the square footage of their gym, so that's going to be
city
huge.
Or town.
Or the town. Oh, man, if I hear one more time, like, I could never do that because of where I'm located. There are so many advantages of being in a B or a C market when it comes to acquiring clients. I mean, back to when we were an agency, even working with our partners at our agencies nowadays, I would much rather run ads in any one of those locations because their cost per acquisition is drastically lower. Sure, maybe the average income of the population doesn't match what we have here, But that doesn't mean that within $20 a week or something like that, you can't mimic and mirror the same business model that we do here. And that's exactly what we teach, right? Like, that's the success of our coaching program, is the systems that run the business, and then the people in the business run those systems. That stuff carries over. I don't care what corner of this country or the world. We've got international clients that do the same exact thing that we do here. Mm-hmm. And it just scaled to meet some of those little unique differences between locations.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it was a little eye opening to see that post from Dan. It's like, you know, he's not sugarcoating it. Yeah. And I don't know if he said, he never really made a comment on whether or not that was good or bad, but he also said, post your gym here and we will look you up and tell you where you rank. Okay. Cause he was looking at the rankings.
Sure.
In over 5,000 gyms. So he was asking the audience, tell me your gym name and I will give you your rank. And he said today, as part of the second part of that post, he's like, only people that asked me what their rank were in the top 20%.
I would believe that.
And he goes, is that because the best gym owners want to know their data? Is it because the best gym owners are competitive? And so like knowing their rank would help them like understand, hey, I got to do better. He goes, the bottom 50% never even raised their hand.
And that probably not a single one of them.
And it's not because, and he wasn't saying like, hey, you didn't ask because you know you're not in the top. But like, even if you're in the bottom, wouldn't you want to know like, hey, you know what? I'm ranked 2,200. You know, I got some work to do.
Sure.
How do I get it up to the top 50 or top 100, right?
But to the point of the episode, it's like, does that gym owner desire to have 30,000 a month in recurring, or does, you know,
I don't know the answer. And you would hope, like, I'm in a business, you're a gym owner, being mediocre or average or below average should not be satisfying. Cause in order to open a business, you've got to be all in. Like, you can't just limp into it and like, yeah, I'm going to do that on the weekends. Like, this is your life. You're all in. How can you not to want to win?
Yeah.
Don't you want to win, guys? Like, don't you want to win? Like, isn't this a competition at some level against yourself?
Internal,
against,
sure,
last year's numbers, against the guy across the street, against the nation, against the push press rankings, against CrossFit, against any other model? Like, isn't this a something you want to win? Is this a competition? Where is your mindset? Where is your aggressive nature to go all in, push the freaking envelope? We have a saying in the Iron Circle. It says, KEA, kill them all. Kill them all, because sometimes you guys are just, lack of a, you're just half-assing it. Like, sure, you're just mailing it in.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Like, I'm afraid to cuss on here, but like, you're just not aggressive enough. You're playing small. You're playing timid. You're not going for the big numbers. You're okay being average. And everything in this world is to keep you there in the middle.
Yep.
Soon as you get outside of your comfort zone, you start creeping up, that thermostat kicks on, and you're going to find ways to be like, oh, I don't really want 15 more clients because that's going to require more work. I had a good friend who was a chiropractor, and I was getting adjusted one time, and I was looking at his operation, and as I do, I'm looking at everything like, where can this guy maximize potential? And I was telling him about these marketing plays that I was doing. This was in the early Facebook days, and running automation and all the stuff that we still do today. And I'm like, dude, like, if you just do these things, like, your business can grow and can be great. You know what he said? He says, Tim, I'm comfortable. I don't want to grow. I was like, I can't help you then. Like, who does this and just is just comfortable in the middle? Now, I could see that of a guy doing this for 50 years and doesn't want to work harder. Like, he's kind of on the downhill. So this is a young dude. This was like early 30s. It's like 33 years old. Like, what do you?
But you know what? The commonality there is he's probably also the owner operator, right? He is
the one
doing the adjustment. So the transition to like the fitness business, if you're still on the floor and you have that feeling, that mentality, makes a lot of sense. But if you don't ever step in or step out and have somebody else in fulfillment and start training other people to do the job, you're always going to be in that position. And then, I mean, not, I can understand it. I don't agree with it, but I can understand that mentality if you were in fulfillment and you found yourself a kind of a level of comfort, right? You know, but to me, that's like, at that point, just have a job. Well, go work for somebody else.
Have a job or what, like find a way to around that, like hire people to like, I don't know.
Yeah. But you know, you were talking about the competition component. I think with CrossFit, that's one of the most ironic aspects of it all, right? We're talking about a fitness model that is literally designed around the games and competition. And yet the owners and the business side of it aren't looking at the same, they don't treat it the same way that they do the workout itself.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, right? It's all about times.
And, yeah, everything's a competition in the service that you're providing, but yet you don't look at your business the same way.
Yeah, weird. Like,
it's very strange there.
Yeah, and it's not just, look, guys, it's just an eye-opener. It was, it's unfortunate. There's so many really good people just not making great money.
Yeah.
And you're going to, maybe you can do it for a year or two or three, but like this, 10 years, 15 years, if you're still like kind of where you're at now, like, is it worth it? You're probably going to regret you didn't do something sooner or just change industries. Like, look, this business is hard. This sure. Fitness industry is hard for so many reasons that we've talked about. Like, you got to work like 5 to 10 times harder than any other industry just to make it, just to grow, just to stay on top. Like, you have to work way harder. You have to risk more. You got to spend more. You got to learn more. You got to do more. And if that ain't for you, get out now. You'll save yourself a decade of like frustration. Get out now.
Well, and if you're not building those skill sets, right? Like, probably one of the first one-liners that, you know, we ever brought to the show was growth or decay. There is no maintenance, right? If you're not progressively growing your business, the environment is shrinking your business around you. You know, the cost of doing business gets higher every year. The competition, you know, when it comes to acquiring clients is getting greater. All of the things will bring you your business down if you're not actively growing at every, you know, corner, every turn. Mm-hmm. You have to be consistently looking to progress. Let's just say you hit that level of comfort. Well, how many clients can you afford to lose before you're no longer there? Or let's say you keep it the same and next year, you know, the economy is just as hard as it has been and everything's continuing to go up that you are buying. Therefore, you're taking that hit in your business, right? Your expenses are growing. Your income's not growing. You're going to find yourself in a worse off position if you're not actively and intentionally growing always.
Right.
Always.
So take it as a way, either a wake up call, get your ass together, or you know, maybe you're cool where you're at. I'm just bringing it up. I just don't get your mentality if you're cool where you're at.
Yeah,
I'm always looking for growth. Our damn business is about growth. Like, everything's growth.
The name of the podcast is called Built to Grow.
Yeah, it's about growth. Yeah, if you're not growing, like, what are we doing? So, anyways, guys, just a quick rant here. Hopefully, we see you guys in Nashville. Guys, if you need any help, link will be in the show notes. Jump on a call. We have coaching programs. We got resources to help you. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link. And keep building something great, and we'll see you in the next episode.